Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff Shreve explores the question of the hour. In fact, the most important question of your life.
Jesus appeared to Thomas and he asked him that pointed question, "Have you believed?" That was the question of the hour back then, and that's the question of the hour today. The question hasn't changed. Have you believed? It is so critical to understand, to answer that question, see, because if you get that question wrong, have you believed, and your answer is no, then that determines where you spend eternity, either heaven or hell.
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from his heart.
Every person in the world, every person who's ever lived, every person who will ever live, will have to give an answer to that question. Have you believed? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're so glad that you joined us today as we begin the last message in Pastor Jeff's five-lesson series, Cross-Examination, Questions from the King. Now, these five messages examine five critical questions that Jesus asked people around him during his ministry. And the answers you give today are just as critically important. It's the question that Jesus first asked Doubting Thomas, and a question he is asking you today as well. And it is this: have you believed? Now, we'll have part one of this lesson today and part two tomorrow. But if you miss any of these questions and answers, or in fact any of the messages this month, you can listen to them again online at fromhisheart.org. There you need to click the radio tab. You can also download a free MP3 of any broadcast and Pastor Jeff's sermon outlines. Open your Bible now to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin the examination of this question from Jesus. Have you believed?
Jesus Christ was crucified on Friday. Friday morning, he suffered and he bled and he died for 6 hours on that cross. They took him off the cross at 3. And then they wrapped him in the grave clothes. And John says they anointed him with myrrh and aloes. And they put him in the tomb all before 6 o'clock on Friday night. Jesus Christ arose on Sunday morning, early Sunday morning. And he appeared, first of all, to Mary Magdalene. And then he appeared to the other women at the tomb. And then the Bible says he appeared to those two men on the road to Emmaus. And then he appeared to Peter, and then he appeared that night to the disciples. But the Bible says this in John chapter 20 and verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them, the other disciples, when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I shall see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, his disciples were inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." When I was in high school, I was a jock and I hung out with the jocks. And we were kind of a rough school in that if you ever did something stupid or wrong, you would get hammered for it and cut down for it. And oftentimes a nickname was given to somebody who did something stupid or said something stupid. It was a nickname that stuck with you. It was never very flattering, but the guys would all call you this. You know what my nickname was in high school? See, in high school, you got to remember, I had a ton of hair in high school, just a ton. I was like Fabio. I just had all this hair. And they used to laugh at me when I would play basketball because my hair never really moved. It was just really thick, and I would play and I would sweat, and it's just always the same. So they called me Helmet Head. Well, that wasn't very nice. My coach even called me Helmet Head. Between my junior and senior year, I tried to grow a beard. They were asking me, what are you doing, Shreve, growing a chin strap? You know, it's just brutal. Helmet Head. The best nickname was given to a guy named Steve. Steve went out one night with a guy named Kirk. Both of them played football. Both of them together had an IQ of about 100. And it was kind of like Dumb and Dumber went out. And Kurt was driving, and Steve was the passenger, and they went out carousing, and they went out drinking. And they came home, and Kurt drove Steve home. And as he let Steve off, Kurt thought Steve walked in front of the car, but Steve had walked behind the car. So Kurt put the car in reverse, and he ran over Steve. Steve was screaming because Kurt ran over his leg, and Kurt, hearing the screams, panicked, and he said, I must be on Steve's leg. So he put the car in drive and ran over him again. In his own driveway, ran over him twice. When Steve got out of the hospital, all the guys, we called him Speed Bump. That's his new name, Speed Bump. He didn't like that nickname. Now, the scripture that we read is about Thomas. His mother gave him that name, Thomas, because he was a twin. Thomas in Aramaic means twin. He was the second born of the twins because they also called him Didymus. That's the Greek word. It means ditto. And so she was having babies, and the first one came out. Who knows what she named that one? And then out comes another one. Hey, ditto. Let's call him ditto. And so he's called Thomas the twin, or Didymus, ditto. And we know him not as the apostle Thomas. We all know him as doubting Thomas. Now, that is a nickname he didn't like. That's a moniker that has stuck with him throughout the history of Christendom. Everyone knows Thomas as Doubting Thomas. Why? Because he didn't believe. He wasn't there that first night when Jesus appeared to the disciples, and he did not believe the testimony of Mary Magdalene. He didn't believe the two guys on the road to Emmaus. He didn't believe Peter when he said, I saw the Lord. He didn't believe those other women, and he didn't believe the disciples. And Jesus appeared to Thomas, and he asked him that pointed question, have you believed? That was the question of the hour back then, and that's the question of the hour today. The question hasn't changed. Have you believed? It is so critical to understand, to answer that question, to see, because if you get that question wrong, have you believed, and your answer is no, then that determines where you spend eternity, either heaven or hell. So God wants to teach us this morning, through the story of Doubting Thomas, three key important lessons. Lesson number one, like Thomas, we often have barriers to belief. Barriers to believing on the Lord. Now, before you judge Thomas too harshly, you have to look at things from his perspective. See, Thomas, you know, we throw him under the bus real easily because he didn't believe. Thomas was a great disciple. And you read in John's account in John chapter 11, he was ready to die with Jesus. He was faithful. He said, if I have to go to Jerusalem, I'll go and I'll die with him. But see, Thomas had put all his eggs in the basket of Jesus being the Messiah. And then he was there when Jesus was arrested. He saw Jesus as he was tried by the Sanhedrin, as he was tried by Pilate. He saw him beaten. He saw him scourged. He saw him in that purple robe with the crown of thorns upon his head, beaten and bloodied. When Pilate said, behold the man. He saw when he went to Calvary and was nailed to a tree. He was there. He saw when they took him off the cross, his dead, lifeless body starting to stiffen. His skin was ashen white because of death and because he had lost so much blood. He saw as they wrapped Jesus in those grave clothes and put him in the tomb. And Thomas knew that Jesus Christ was dead. He was dead. And dead men don't come back to life. And Thomas's heart was shattered, just shattered. So shattered was his heart that when the disciples on that first Sunday night got together for just a kind of a last time together before they broke up and went their separate ways, Thomas couldn't even come. He said, I just can't come. It's just too painful. He wasn't there. And the Lord appeared that night. See, you always miss out when you don't come to church. It's just a point. You might want to put it in the Bible. Just a point. You always miss out. He wasn't there. And so he missed out. And when they told him, he just said, no way. No way. Guys, I was there. I saw him die. There is no way that Jesus Christ is alive. And because of that, we call him Doubting Thomas. He said, unless I see for myself his hands and put my finger in the holes in his hands, put my hand in his side, I will not believe. He had serious doubts. Now, someone said this, doubt is a desire to believe, but an inability due to an intellectual problem. That's a good definition of doubt. You want to believe, but there's a sticking point. And there's an intellectual problem that just says this can't be so. Some of you are here today and you have doubts. I mean, you're here to worship the risen Savior, but you're not so sure if he's really alive. And you have doubts. Some of you have read the Da Vinci Code. It's caused you to doubt. Is Jesus really the Messiah? Is he really the Son of God? Did he ever really rise from the dead? Is it true that he was just a man and had a wife, Mary Magdalene, and they had children? And there are all sorts of doubts. You see suffering in the world and you say, if there's really a God, why would people suffer like this? And why would children be abused, innocent children? All sorts of questions and nagging doubts. That's a barrier to belief. Hey, what do you do with doubts? You have to deal with them. See, you have doubts. I have doubts. Everyone has doubts. They come into our lives from time to time. I saw Rick Warren, the pastor at Saddleback Valley Community Church, author of The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life. He was on Larry King. And Larry King loves to get Christians on his program and always asks him, do you ever doubt? It's just like his greatest question. Do you ever doubt? And Warren looked at him and he said, well, sure. And he said, you know, everybody doubts. He said, but here's the thing, Larry. He said, this is where people get messed up. He said, doubts are meant to be doubted. Beliefs are meant to be believed. He said, you doubt your doubts, you believe your beliefs. Where you get twisted is when you start to believe your doubts and doubt your beliefs. I thought, well, that's kind of a neat way to say that. Doubts are meant to be doubted. So what do you do when you have doubts? How do you deal with doubts?
Have you ever doubted? We'll explore what to do with those doubts when Pastor Jeff returns in just a moment. Lots of people have doubts, and some doubt God, not only his power, love, and desire to help us, but even his existence. That seems so foreign to born-again believers, but that doubt is a plague in the world. Most of these people have a warped understanding of who or what God is. Is that you? Would you like to know the truth? Pastor Jeff has a 6-message series that can help. It's called Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And it's our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. It's available on CDs, DVDs, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. You'll learn about the true nature of God and mankind and gain the true perspective for your life. To get Perspective, Understanding God and Man, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org to make your gift. And know that your support allows us to be here each and every day. Again, call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. Now, let's conclude part one of this lesson entitled, Have You Believed? Here again is Pastor Jeff.
So what do you do when you have doubts? How do you deal with doubts? Well, two ways. The first way, the way you deal with doubt is you take your intellectual difficulties and you take them to the empty tomb. See, lots of people want to talk about creation versus evolution. See, they want to talk about the existence of God and they go to Genesis. When people try and get me into a conversation where we're going to talk about creation versus evolution, and I'm talking to someone who doesn't believe, I always say, no, let's not go to creation. Let's go to the empty tomb. Let's talk about that. See, that is the key issue. Because if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, nothing really matters. But if Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, nothing else really matters. That is the core issue. Did he arise? It's the central piece of Christianity. The cross means nothing without the resurrection. The Bible means nothing without the resurrection of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins. So everything depends upon that. So you take your doubts to the empty tomb, and you ask yourself this question: did Jesus Christ really rise from the dead? Did he really rise from the dead? Well, if you look at the evidence says, of course he rose from the dead. How did Christianity get rolling in the first century? It got rolling because Jesus rose from the dead. How did Peter all of a sudden become a dynamo for God and stand up in the city square and say that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead? How did he get the courage to do that? It's because Jesus really rose from the dead. Nothing else makes sense. You know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead and the apostles are at the street corner preaching that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you know what they would have had to do? Very easy. You could have shut down the gospel just like that. All you got to do is go to the tomb, roll away the stone, get the body, put him in a wheelbarrow, wheel him down the street. Peter's preaching away. Oh, the Lord is risen. And they're like, here he is. He's not risen. You say, yeah, Jeff, but they stole the body. See, that's why they couldn't do that, because they stole the body. Well, how much sense does that make? Here you have the disciples in John chapter 20 and verse 19, they have the door shut and locked for fear of the Jews, much less fear of the Romans. Do you think the disciples, a band of 11 scared guys with a bunch of women, do you think they're going to go up against the Romans? What do the Romans do if you go up against them? They crucify you. The Roman army was the most powerful force on the earth. Peter is not going to go, and the rest of the disciples, they're not going to go up against Rome. There was a Roman guard that watched over the tomb, because they heard that he had said that he would rise from the dead. So they were going to guard the tomb. They were afraid somebody might steal the body. Peter wasn't going to go up against Rome. He was afraid when a little servant girl asked him in the courtyard, hey, you're one of his disciples. And he cursed and swore and said, I don't even know the man. He's not going to do that. But you look at the change in his life and the other disciples' lives. It's amazing. Now, how do you explain that? A changed life is such power for the truth that Jesus Christ is alive. In the 1800s, there was a man named Dr. Simon Greenleaf. Simon Greenleaf was the founder of Harvard Law School. Simon Greenleaf is regarded by many as the foremost authority on law. He had, as one man described, the greatest legal mind ever was in the mind of Dr. Simon Greenleaf. And Simon Greenleaf used to teach his students, don't ever judge anything and make a decision on anything until you look at the evidence. And they were in class one day, and the question of religion came up. Now, religion and ethics and moralities weaved into law, and so that often came up. But then someone started to talk about Jesus and the resurrection. And one of the students asked Simon Greenleaf, who was a Jew, said, Dr. Greenleaf, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? He said, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And someone else asked him, ah, but Dr. Greenleaf, have you taken the time to research the evidence? Greenleaf was aghast. He lost face, and he was ashamed because he hadn't done that, and he was honest enough to say, I haven't really done that, but I'm going to. And so Simon Greenleaf went on a search. He went on a search like a lawyer would go on a search to try a case, and he was going to prove that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, and he looked at all the evidence, and he weighed out all the evidence, and he wrote a book called Testimony of the Evangelists. And he said, when you look at all the evidence from an honest heart, it is overwhelming. It is undeniable that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and Dr. Simon Greenleaf gave his life to Christ and became a follower of Jesus Christ. Hey, what do you do with your doubts? You take them to the empty tomb and you say, is this true? I like what one Muslim who became a Christian, he was talking to his friend who was a Muslim, and the guy said, why did you become a Christian? He said, it's kind of like this. He said, suppose you're going down a road and then the road forks and you're not sure which road to take, and there are two men there at the fork in the road. One man is dead and one man is alive. Which man are you going to ask directions of? He said, Jesus is alive, and that's why I've put my faith and trust in him. That's what you do with your doubts. Research it, and you'll see that the gospel account is true. But see, not only do you have to deal with intellectual doubts that you take to the empty tomb, you also have to deal with doubt that you take to the risen Christ. Doubt comes in when life gets tough. Doubt comes in when it gets dark on your situation. Hey, Thomas was doubting because things were so bad for him. His life was so shattered. Have you ever had a situation where something bad happens? A loved one dies suddenly. You have a prolonged illness. Your business collapses. You go into financial ruin and you pray and God doesn't seem to answer. You can start to doubt in the dark. What do? You do what John the Baptist did. See, John the Baptist, who was a great prophet. Jesus said, of all those born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. He was the greatest man who ever lived. Jesus said, the greatest prophet. He doubted. He was in prison, and life wasn't going like he thought it should go, as he thought God was going to bring about for him. And he began to doubt, and he sent messengers to Jesus. Are you the one we're supposed to believe in, or is there someone else? And there was doubt in that question, and Jesus said with love and with a smile, go report back to John what I've been doing. The lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. And they reported that back to John, and it encouraged his heart. You bring your difficulties to Jesus, to the empty tomb, and to the risen Savior. We all have to deal with doubts.
What an encouraging truth to know that all Christians have to deal with doubts. We'll continue to explore these valuable truths next time as Pastor Jeff brings the conclusion to the message, Have You Believed? That's tomorrow. And we also hope that you'll join a growing number of supporters we call Vision Partners. These are people who know that these messages are reaching countless people around the world with real truth, love, and hope found only in Christ. They also know that they can't personally go and witness to these people, but they do have a vision to see the impact of radio on the world. People like Beatrice from Sydney, Australia, who wrote, I drive about an hour and a half to work, and I hear you on the radio presenting God's word so clearly and not watered down. And it puts me in a great mood and makes me forget about the bumper-to-bumper traffic. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. You are greatly appreciated here in Sydney. Well, thank you, Beatrice, and we thank you for supporting From His Heart to allow these kinds of interactions to go on around the world. And you can become a Vision Partner when you go online to make your first gift, and there you can sign up to become a regular monthly Vision Partner. Just go to fromhisheart.org, and thank you so much. Well, our time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us today, and we trust that you'll be here tomorrow for part two of the lesson, Have You Believed? That's Friday, here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is blessed, there is hope that you always dream of. He can heal every scar. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.